for grace to us and for this privilege it is to know you and to be called your disciples and to be given this commission to make disciples. We just ask for wisdom and boldness as you teach us through your word, and just ask again how to be disciple makers and help us, give us understanding of the Spirit to help us to remove any confusion about the path that we call you and how that works out. Help Pastor Jeff, please, and your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, this is last week we began a series on disciple making, and we defined disciple making as helping others follow Jesus Christ. Disciple making is helping others follow Jesus Christ. And now that and we were surprised to find out that can occur both inside and outside of the church. So I mean, if you think about it, so we got disciple making as a term, and some people you might want to, if you like discipling better, that is done. Helping others follow Jesus Christ is done inside the church and outside the church. Okay? We typically call disciple making outside the church what?
Evangelism.
We typically call disciple making or discipling inside the church what?
Discipleship.
I mean, that's just kind of... So we need not get hung up on this. I personally think that some of the dangers of using the word discipleship as inside the church here is that we forget to do this. But that's one of the dangers. But there's dangers of putting discipleship, which I have done already, discipleship, as a broader term than is over the whole thing at the very top, because then you think, well, every time I give someone a cup of cold water, I'm discipling, and we talked about that with some people, but let's not get hung up on the terms here. I'm going to cross it out and understand we're talking about disciple making, and we tend to see that we tend to think of discipling or disciple making sometimes inside the church. But it's both outside and inside the church. Are we clear on that from last time? Okay. So what we're going to do, we started a series really focusing here on outside the church. And we want to learn a simple way to share the gospel. And then we're going to do a series on inside discipleship, really focusing on this big corporate gathering on Sunday mornings, and really thinking through together as a church how we use that and how we could all use that better for disciple making to help others follow Christ while they're here. So we'll do that later. So we started with outside and we got that definition down. The question I have to start out with, if we're going to think about doing evangelism, is, do we really know the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do we know the gospel? Are we able to state the gospel? If our goal is to be able to have real relationships with real people in real neighborhoods and real families and real workplaces, and be able to take real conversations and to be able to transition into gospel conversations as the Lord gives window and opportunity, we have to know what to say. We have to have thought through what to say about the content of the gospel. We need to learn to clearly articulate the gospel. So let's everyone can have their eyes open for this. I'm not going to get weird. But raise your hand and be honest with me. Raise your hand if you really desire to be able to clearly articulate the gospel better than you can do right now. Okay? So we're here and we've got stuff to learn. Now, it's a harder question to say, can you clearly articulate the gospel like I could clearly articulate that statement? And have you raise your hand and say, yes, I have worked on this. I want to do this. I love doing this. Because we're filled with false humility, and then we wouldn't want to be. But I'm saying there are people in this church who can clearly articulate the gospel. Do you know that? Now, they want to improve on it. They want to grow. They're always thinking about it. They wonder, how do I get to the gospel when this person says this? There's always ways to learn, right? But we have examples in this church that you ought to be going, beep, 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 beep. You'll be scoping them out, finding out who can clearly articulate the gospel around here. If you all are raising your hand saying, I want to do it better, and this is our calling as Christians according to the Great Commission, to make disciples of all nations, which includes both inside and outside of the church, does it not? Baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything that the Lord, right? Inside and outside of the church, the Great Commission. Then, scope people out. Let's start talking about it. Because when you start scoping people out and say, hey, how did you do that? I heard you were praying about it. How did you bring that up on the airplane? How did you get there? Because whenever I'm scared. What do I do? How did you do it? We get these kinds of conversations going on in our fellowship hall between the CE hour and the service. This is great. This is equipping. How do you do this? So, okay, good. We desire to do it, but can we clearly articulate the gospel? Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Great cross-reference for today's sermon. Put him up as king. Sanctify, set him apart as Lord of your hearts. Because when you do, when you're seeing the end and you're rejoicing in your joy is in the Lord, then you're ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you. Do it with gentleness, do it with reverence. But when they see you suffer in the midst of unjust, stand up in the midst of unjust suffering, and they see your response to that, and they see your hope, they're going to ask you why. And we need to be ready. We need to give an answer for that hope. That's the purpose of what we're doing here. Now, my kids do impromptu speeches for class, which the group that they're studying with for school. And sometimes they have, sometimes it's truly impromptu, like get up and start talking, which... that's pretty intense, but that's cool. I like it. Second, but sometimes they get, I mean, this is what I had to do, and you had to do this too. Okay, you get 2 minutes, and here's your note cards, and you can kind of whip an outline on a piece of paper, and you got 2 minutes. There's opportunities where, for the gospel, there's some impromptu opportunities. We've got to already be prepared. And then there's like me, I've got 25 hours to figure out how to say it each week. There's different opportunities, impromptu opportunities and ones that you prepare. Tomorrow, and you can pray about this and pray for God's mercy and grace. Tomorrow, I'm giving my testimony to the Christian Student Fellowship at Northwestern at noon. So pray. It was emailed out. I don't know who's going to be sitting in the front row, if you know what I mean. I have no idea. And I've been there, I've done that in the past, where I had the Vice President of Academic Affairs in the front row. It wasn't fun in my flesh at all. So pray about that. You, if you're around 12 o'clock, come on over. Room 18. Anyways, come and pray about that. But I'm going to prepare today what to say tomorrow. But right now, what I want you to do is to take 2 minutes around your tables and say, I am going to randomly, I'm not going to do this, but what if I said in 2 minutes I'm going to randomly appoint a table, beep, 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 randomly appoint a table to have to come up and take what you guys have written in 2 minutes and present the gospel to us. What would you say? Impromptu speech. So you have 2 minutes, starting now, as tables, to come up with what is the gospel. What would you share if someone asked you to come up and share the gospel? So go ahead. What would you say if someone asked you to share the gospel with them? What are some of the components? Don't write it out word for word, but what are some of the components you would put in there? To see
you. Too.
Do you mind joining those guys and helping them out a little bit? Plus, I wanted to look at your handwriting, so it worked out well.
You might bring up the fact that on a lot of, if a guy's working for, looking for a job, he's supposed to be able to give, or he/she is supposed to be able to give like a 30-45 second commercial on himself and why they should have a job. When we present the gospel, it's along the same lines.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, exactly. That's good. That's good. I might have you bring that up here in a second. Okay, so 30 seconds left just to put a couple of the components of the gospel that you guys think about. So I'll let you finish up. And then we'll take a few notes on what you came up with. For components, what would you say? Okay. All right, let's go from this side of the room and work our way over. What did you guys put? And you guys may see if you have anything different. Components of the gospel. You guys, go ahead and that's it. Anybody want to say anything? What are some of the components of the gospel that you have in your impromptu speech, the 2 minutes you had to come up with that you'd want to share? Just some things about the gospel.
John 3:16.
Okay.
And the first verse of the Bible in Genesis.
Okay. Okay, good. Other thoughts? You guys have anything for us? Components of the gospel?
God created, man sinned, Christ the Son of God died, redemption.
Okay. So God created, man sinned, the Son of God died, and this is all for man's redemption. Okay. Other thoughts? keep on going. Anyone can talk, but we're just kind of working our way. We gave middle tables. Components of the gospel that you would want to include.
Why we need a Savior. Establish that we're sinners.
Necessity of blood or death.
Okay.
Kind of a summary. I put down God's love, our need, grace, and repentance. Just individual words of each person.
Love, need,
grace, repentance.
Okay. All right. Good. Let's keep moving. If there's other.
For me, it's like the gospel is the truth that God, the creator of all, made himself man, came to this earth, lived as a man, and died as a man in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, to pay the ransom of our sin. So we are blood bought and redeemed by that blood.
Okay. Came. So God.
Of our sins and the belief that he came, lived, died for us. Gives us the right to eternal life.
Okay. Eternal life. So I'm going to send you all my notes every week. You don't have to read them, but if you want to, I'll do that because we can with the technology. So, Adam.
Two things came to mind for me, and one I expressed to you earlier. You got to keep it simple, but one of the things I learned when I came out of the military looking for a job is to be ready to give a 30, 45 second commercial on yourself. You can practice the same thing on the gospel.
Yep.
Second thing we brought up the table was John 14:6. Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you keep it simple, you know, very much like President Calvin Coolidge was asked one time, he was challenged that a lady could make him say more than three words, and he smiled and looked at her and said, you lied. Right?
That's true.
If you keep it simple, Jesus saves.
Yes. Good. So, speak the truth, but we need to have a way to simply and clearly articulate the gospel. And I think practicing, like you did, when you practice for that job interview or that job commercial for 45 seconds, is that wise to practice that? Well, God's sovereign. No, God's sovereign. He's going to save people or he's going to not save people. I'm going to get this job or I'm not going to get this job. Is it wise to practice that 45 second? Is it biblical to practice? Are you responsible to practice? But why do we not make that leap when it comes to sharing the gospel in our circles? I mean, to learn, to practice, to be able to share the gospel and know how to articulate it in about a minute with somebody who's on the bus.
I think because we hear it so much, we think we can just say it, but that's not true.
That's good. That's a good point. And I think that's true for every one of us, including the pastors. Right, guys? That we have lots of room to grow here. Okay, good. We're getting it. Anything else, though, from this side of the room? That you just, boy, no one said this and I want to say it, kind of thing.
Man's absolute guilt to God's absolute holiness and just demands. Yeah.
Guilt. Holiness of God. Justice. Okay.
Jeff?
Yes.
I'm with you. I think that's a great thing to have a commercial, if you will. But it's going to be a springboard because that conversation isn't going to end at 60 seconds. Or it might. You don't know.
Yeah.
And we're living in a culture that is so fragmented, we have no idea where people are coming from. And, 40 years ago, we could depend on people having some church background,
right.
Some knowledge of the Bible,
yeah.
And we could plug into that cultural base. But if you talk to
kind of like Paul did talking to the Jews.
Right.
He didn't have to establish there was a holy God sometime.
Yes.
I mean, they knew that.
And when he was talking about, you people are very religious. I see your temples and your statues, blah, blah, blah. When people work in tribal settings that have a totally alien worldview, a lot of them are using a program like God and Man, where they start at the beginning, before the gospel, to work up to that common understanding.
Yeah.
And there are cognates that we can tie into as human beings to launch that message. And I think that, it's good to have that 45-second commercial, but be light on your feet.
Well, yep. The other thing, too, is once the gospel is shared, there's got to be follow-up. That's the problem. A lot of times there's no follow-up, so sharing the gospel is really no good. Nobody followed up. Help walking through what that was, but they just learned. They were interested.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good comments. Let me address that. As I've been meditating on this, Bruce, I think if we're prepared and really have practiced and really own our way of what God is, what works for us to be able to share that gospel clearly in a minute and just have actually worked on it, it equips us for everything else. Because we see the gospel in our, they're entering here. Oh, they're entering here. Oh, this is not going to... Oh, I'm going to say it this way. By having that down, it brings so much clarity for how to adapt it. It's kind of like this. Don't teach... I tell my radiology students, I will not... Just tell me how that I get past... I'm not telling you a trick of the trade until you learn the trade, mister. I say that every day with these students. No. I'll teach you the trade. Then, when you've mastered the trade, I'll give you the tricks of the trade. And we're talking tricks of the trade here when you get an atheist that comes in who's this. But the bottom line is it's the power of God's word. It's the truth. And we have to be flexible. We have to know sometimes we won't share this. We will share this. Sometimes we'll wait for another day. Sometimes it will, right? There's all kinds of Holy Spirit opportunities. It's not like, hold on, I've seen this on TV where you got the guy who's just, the guy's talking in his ear and I'm just going to share the gospel because I'm an idiot. And he's just going to talk over the guy and recite his commercial. And then he's faithful. No. That's not being faithful. That's being an idiot. So there is a balance here, but I'm thinking that if we all want to share this better, and if we deserve and ought to practice this and think it through and work on it if it's that important, if it's a matter of life and death. We do that for our free throws. I do that for free throws. You see this scar right here? That's me attempting to play basketball Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. I struck my head on the rim. That's a joke. That's a joke. Come on. It's a joke. It's a joke. I did not strike my head on the rim. I got clawed by some student coming to that, clawed me. I still work at playing basketball. I work on my free throws. This is way more important than that. Let's work on it. But I agree with everything you said, Bruce, and I think we're going to need to bring balance all the way through this. Okay, second question then. What is the gospel? Before we answer that question, in your handout, I think, what is the gospel's next? I have an even more fundamental question. Very important. Where did you all go to get the answers to what you just said? Scripture. That is fundamental. What is our authority to determine what is the gospel? The Word of God. That's comforting. Because we're looking to God's Word. All right? We believe that what God has said in the Bible is infallible. It's inerrantly true. It's sufficient for all of life and godliness. The Word of God leads us away from skepticism and despair and uncertainty about the gospel and leads us into clarity and leads us into confidence in what the gospel is and how to apply it to our culture. That's exciting. That we're not determining this, we're finding this. We're thinking it through. And Shirley did this. That's why I smiled, Shirley. It wasn't because you were wrong. I'm like, Shirley's doing what she can only do. What else has she have but the Scripture? Who God is from Genesis 1:1, the Gospel from John 3:16, right? It's the Scripture. So, we need to start with the Scripture. But let me just get nasty about that, though. That means that we're going to have to know God's Word. That means that we have to be serious about this. The Word of God, fine. Pastor Jeff, the Word of God defines the Gospel. The Word of God talks about the Gospel. How? Where? Right, right, and guys, when it's everywhere, it's nowhere. When it's everywhere, it's nowhere. If I have to be super flexible on my gospel presentation, I have no gospel presentation, perhaps. I'm saying we've got to get serious about coming to God's Word and allowing the God's Word to help us with this gospel. Now, I will say this, it is everywhere. The theme of the book is Jesus Christ, the person and work of Jesus Christ. Am I right? So praise God. We can find the gospel. Paul's going to bring it in Joshua 9. And if he doesn't, I'll text you a message to remind you to do that. And if you can't find it in Joshua 9, keep preaching into 10 until you find it. The gospel is everywhere for us, so we can see it. So we have the Word of God, but I could go into the Greek. See, gospel is in the Greek. Evangelion. That's the word gospel. Did you get? And it means something. It means what? Good news. The gospel is good news. So I could do a word study and look up Evangelion and trace it, and then just, that's one approach of finding the gospel in the New Testament. Probably would be fun and helpful. But where would you go, then, to discuss and determine the content of the gospel? Where would you go in the Bible? If you're saying, I'm going to take this seriously, I'm going to come up with a gospel presentation, and I'm going to go to God's Word, where are you going to go in the Bible to determine the content of the gospel? All right, give you another 2 minutes. Why don't you work around your table and think of key passages in God's Word that tell us what is the gospel. So what would you do? I think I know where Shirley would go. So we'll start with that one. All right, no one can take Shirley's. Sorry. It's taken. It's taken. Others now. What other passages would you go to if someone said, all right, what is the gospel? Go to your book and show me. Where would you go? And I'm going to write down all of your ideas, because I think as we reflect on some of the passages we come up with, we will help us to study and learn more about the gospel as we read these passages. So come up with a couple, and we're going to move right in to getting some of your ideas. All right. Boy, time flies when you're having fun. Though I'm going to need to wrap this up quickly and show you a passage. Okay. All right. Well, I bet you came up with one or two passages. So anybody now, just shout out like key Bible passages for you that have really helped in explaining the gospel. Go ahead and I'll write them down.
John 3:16 and 17.
Good.
2 Corinthians 5:21.
He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Romans 10:8-11.
Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Andy asked me the other day, my little 7-year-old, so I can't know, I don't know. He's just under conviction. I read Romans 10. You say, you read Romans 10, you didn't give all the backdrop of how depraved he is. He was apparently under significant conviction. He wanted to know. And I'll tell you what God's Word says. I'll read it right here. You deal with that. You deal with it. It's God's Word. See, that's powerful. Romans 10 is a good one. What else?
1 John 1.
1 John what? 1:9. To confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's the Gospels in that verse. Yes. What else?
John 1:1.
Yes. In the beginning, the whole prologue of John, what a place to talk about Christ coming in. I think someone said he came down, forgot who it was. John 1 and 1 through 18, but beginning at the creation. What else? Galatians 2:16. I forgot what that one says.
Can I read it?
Yeah.
So nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law.
Good. Others?
Ephesians 2:1-9,
and I'll be so bold as to include 10 in there, only because of today's message.
1 Timothy 2:5-6.
Paul, can you quote that one, since it's short, or look it up for us? Sorry to put you on the spot on that, but
one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Perfect. So talking about the gap and the mediation that's necessary, and the God-man. Good verse to go to. All right. So this is good. This is a great exercise. Now let me. That's the dumb clock. It mocks me every week.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm just going to read a story to you very briefly. This is a pastor down in Florida. He tells the story. I knew God had called me to preach, and I was in seminary being trained for the pastorate when I went to the Philippines with one of my mentors. Bob took me to a huge outdoor market to the island of Mindanao and told me to preach the gospel, and preach I did. I mean, I really brought it. The crowd gathered. People were engaged. I told them about Jesus and the perfect life he lived and the death he died. I explained how he died on the cross for my sins and their sins. I told them that if they repented and believed in Jesus, God would forgive all their sins. People responded. Approximately 100 people came out of the crowd that day and professed faith in Jesus. It was an amazing feeling. I was exhilarated and confident that I had done what God had called me to do. I preached the gospel. Later that night, I sat down with Bob to review the day, and I was right. He thought I'd given a great effort. He told me he was proud of me and that my passion really showed. There was just one problem, he said. I had failed to preach the gospel. I mean, it's a little humbling. God can use anything, and he uses his word. Am I right? I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15 while we spend 10 more minutes, and then we'll be done. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Now, I want you to see what the Apostle Paul does in 1 Corinthians 15. And this really helped me, and I hope it helps you. We'll end on this. We don't have a lot of points to make today. That's okay. We're going slow. 1 Corinthians 15:1-5. Let's read it. I'll put a few thoughts on the whiteboard thing, although it's not working for me here. Come on now. Well, now, Paul writes, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel Okay, so Paul in 1 Corinthians, known to you, I'm going to make known to you the gospel. All right? Which I preached, so it's got to be spoken. Which you also received, it's got to be received. In which also you stand, it's still somehow relevant for the believers there. They still stand in this currently. By which you also you are saved. It saved them from what you ask. We'll see. If you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, there's the kind of faith that does not save. There's demon faith. There's head knowledge faith. Philippians chapter 3, 18 and 19, and everywhere else in the New Testament. Now he says, okay, now let me talk about this. For I delivered, now watch how his words, for, now let me explain this. I want to make known to you the gospel. For I delivered to you of first importance. Sound important? He wants to make it known. He speaks it. They received it. They stand in it. They're saved by it. Of first importance, what I also received. Here it is. That. Now, what is he talking about? Isn't he? Very clearly. Not debated. That, here it is, Christ died for our sins. Uper, for our sins, in the place of, in the stead of our sins. Okay? And that he was buried. And that raised on the third day. And I'll watch this. That Christ died for our sins. What did I leave out? No? Well, yes. Christ died. Oh! Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. You see that? And he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day. Then what does it say? According to the Scriptures, it says again, twice. And then this risen Christ appeared. And he lists all the appearances. And then 1 Corinthians 15 is called the what? It's called the resurrection chapter. Because this is not good news if Jesus only died. If Jesus did not raise bodily from the grave, he says and right after this, you are still in your sins. You are to be pitied above all other people. Muhammad is dead. You name them. You name the religion's world. They're dead. They're buried. They did not rise. Oh, by the way, you're still in your sins if he didn't alive. Jesus being alive means that you will be alive as well. That's verses 20 through 28. No resurrection? There's no point in your suffering. Verses 29 through 34. You want to hear what the resurrection will do? You're united to this one, Jesus Christ, who not only died for you, but he rose for you. You're united to him. You too will have resurrection on that last day. You remember that thing that we all, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, that's mocking death at the end with your resurrection body. Then we will say these words. Yes, there's an already and not yet. Yes, we're in Christ now. Yes, we can say and mock death now. But oh, we are just beginning to mock death. Look, exactly. Here's what I'm trying to say. What did we leave out of our gospel when we went around the room? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul does not leave that out. Paul underlines the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Kim brought that up last week. I kind of smiled to myself. Because that's all I wanted you to see today. I wanted you to see two things. Number one, I wanted to try to continue to convince you that we all want to learn how to share the gospel. Number two, I wanted you to see from the scriptures that we have not proclaimed the good news unless we have preached the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. You say, how do I do that? We got 20 weeks. Give me, we got to take it one step at a time. But today I want you to never forget that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ for our sins, right? That's at the very heart of the good news. That is of first importance to Paul. You say, what about the bad news? I got to say the bad news. Look, you got to say the bad news. He says the bad news right here. You're saved from the wrath of God. You're saved from something. You're going to die, aren't you? It's your sins. What about the response? I thought we didn't finish telling the gospel until you called. What do you think is unless you believed in vain means, or in which you also received what I received? Even the response, even the judgment of God, even the bad news is hinted at here, not fully explained. But the good news isn't the bad news. The good news is the good news. And I'm asking you a question. What is the good news? The good news is that Jesus came and He died for our sins. He was buried and He rose for our sins. Does that make sense? So we're getting clarity here. I think we've seen some things. So here's what we've seen. Even in here, God is implicit. We need to be saved from the wrath of God, from God's righteous judgment because of our sins. So God's going to have to be in here. His design, His person. Our man and our sins, and that we are sunk and we need to be saved in our sins. And that Christ had to be died. And we got to talk about the gospel, which is Christ. But we need to remember that He died for our sins, He was buried, He was raised. And then we talk about a response. Yes, repentance and faith. Believe the good news. Hold fast the Word unless you've believed in vain. That is the same thing as saying receiving the Word. It's the same thing. Trust in Christ. Right? So the components are all there. I admit that as we go through this, we're going to always be happening to talk about God and sin and when we get to the gospel of Christ, we are never going to forget the cross, okay, that He came down and He died. But we are not going to forget that He rose from the grave. Paul does not forget it in Philippians chapter 2, does he? And so God highly exalted him and gave to him the name that is above every name. Because when we see a risen Christ who's not dead, we will get the gospel right and see that He's not only Savior, He is also Lord, alive, and coming to take us home. And we'll live right when we get the gospel right. Okay? So that's what I wanted you to see. Number one, God's Word is our authority. Number two, the gospel includes both the death and resurrection of Christ. And yes, as we all agree, we are going to have to start with the bad news before we get to this good news. God, man, gospel, and response. Questions? I'll take a couple minutes of questions.
I have a question, but I have a comment that we're supposed to be imitators, and there's a lot of, I learned to witness by watching other people witness. So there's a lot of great, you can go to YouTube and find a lot of great witnessing clips. It can be really encouraging how to do it in a loving way.
Yep. Good. Good comment. Because that's really a good tie-in. I mean, that's when you're getting a discipleship culture, if you like that sort of word, culture. I know many of us don't, but whatever, you know what I mean. If you're getting that culture in this church of discipleship, there's going to be discussions going on about evangelism all the time. You know what I did? Here's what I said. How did you say it? And you're talking about it. You're praying about it. That's when I get excited. When I start to overhear those kinds of conversations, and then in-house discipleship too, and how people are meeting with people, and it's not me meeting with them, it's someone else, and I start to cry. That's when I get excited. That is the culture of discipleship, disciple making. So we have to imitate inside and outside good examples. Someone over here and then over there. Was there a hand over here? Thought so, but not.
Well, I remember once being taught through all my discipleship classes and stuff that it's so important to know the gospel and the truth of the gospel, but even more important than to know that is to live it out, because there are some people, you know, you might be the only Bible they ever read, so the only time they'll ever read the Bible is by seeing what you're doing.
Yep.
When you live it out, they're reading the Bible.
Yeah. Well, it's show and tell. And it's kind of like today's sermon. We could weep or we could talk. And if we only talk, we're wrong. And if we only weep, we're wrong. I just think that we haven't really been faithful to the gospel unless we've both shown and told it. So you're right. But I can tell you, no one's going to get saved by watching your life. Now hear me on this. Let me say that again. Watching your life might commend the gospel. It might underline the gospel. It might adorn the gospel. It might beautify the gospel. It might be an aroma of the gospel. It might stink up the gospel. But it ain't the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. May we be an aroma, as the brother said, from life unto life. But we've got to be able to also what? Give an answer for the hope that they see as we commend it. So serve and love and help and show and then tell. In God's timing and with God's window and with God's spirit, speak. Does that make sense? I totally agree, but I want to clarify that point. We're way over, so I will close in prayer briefly, and then everyone needs to exit. We need to be out of here by 11:30. Please be to help train your kids to not be walking in the halls and plugging those halls up. We need to really be a blessing to Minnesota Valley Church. And go get your kids, sign them out right away, and relieve the teachers. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given the great news of how we can be right with you and have our sins forgiven and be clothed in your righteousness, that we have a hope, we have a Savior, we have a Redeemer, a Lord. His name is Jesus. Thank you that He did die. And it truly was finished because He rose from the dead. Death had no hold on Him because sin was paid for and gone, and He had no sin in His own body. Thank you, Lord, that You are alive. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love us. Thank you that you ever lived to pray for us. Thank you that you're coming back to get us. Help us to live in light of that, even today, and to get up together and to run our races with endurance. In Christ's name, amen.